You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
Well, we've been stewarding a prophetic word together as a house. Pastor Landon released the word at the top of the year, declaring that it would be the year of the supernatural. And that means to us that the supernatural is what is beyond your own ability. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power of his work within us." We're believing that all throughout this year, God is doing things and has been doing things that are well beyond our own ability, things that we couldn't do in our own efforts. Some of you wrote down things on the floor at the top of the year before we laid the carpet down. Mine is up here, things that we were believing for this year. And I love that Taylor, during worship today, she's saying that it's still the year of the supernatural. I know some of you, I just want to remind you, I know there's only a few days left in December, but God can do anything. God can do anything. Just raise your hand if you've seen something that you've been believing for happen this year. Look around the room and let your faith be stirred this morning. Let your faith be stirred that God can do anything. We said that the word of the Lord about the year of the supernatural was this, was that it was threefold, that we would experience the supernatural. Number two, that we would experience the supernatural personal growth. And then number three, that we would experience supernatural numerical growth as a house. And I know we've seen all of those things happening in our lives. And like I said before, he's not done with us yet. We've been in the middle of a series or a season called Supernatural Encounters. And supernatural encounters are the God encounters that are beyond your own ability. They're the encounters with God that you couldn't work up yourself, that you couldn't make happen. They're beyond your own ability. Daily encounters are the thing that lead us into supernatural encounters. And as you know, that's our vision, right? That we're taking people, that we're going from corporate encounters with God to daily personal encounters with God. And so it's really important that we learn more about what daily encounters look like and how we connect with God, because that's how we even get to the supernatural encounters. If you want to hear the full series and all the teachings that have happened from this pulpit regarding the different ways to encounter God, you can check it out on our podcast or on our YouTube page. But there's 6 parts that have come before today that you can go and listen to. I just want to give you guys a few cautions as we do the last installment of this series today. Number one, as we talk about connecting with God, number one is this: don't try to mimic or connect with God the way that someone else does. Beware of comparing yourself to someone else. Evelyn, my roommate, Ev, go ahead and just, yep, give him, yeah, shout outs to Evelyn. So we're roommates, and Evelyn connects with God through creation. And so she loves going to the lake and the birds and sunsets, and she loves the moon, and she encounters God through seeing beauty things. You know, like she loves being outside. One of the ways that I connect with the Lord is through fasting. One of the ways that I'm learning to connect with God is through creation, because all I can think about when I'm outside is spiders and mosquitoes. Can I get an amen? Somebody else? Okay, you guys understand. So if I try to go outside and connect with God the exact way that Evelyn does, I'm usually just going to be irritated. I have to pray in the spirit way more than she does to get in it. You know what I'm saying? And so I can't compare Evelyn weeping in the presence of God as she watches the sunrise to me encountering God through a fast and weeping through what's happening here. We're different. God has created us differently. And part of the reason we're doing this series is so that you can learn the ways that you encounter God. And then you get to learn ways that maybe you haven't thought of before. And you get to try new things and learning how to connect with him. But don't compare yourself to others or try to mimic what other people are doing. The number two caution is this: don't dishonor or devalue how other people connect with God. Beware of making fun of how someone else encounters God. Because when you make fun of someone, when you're doing that, you're actually dishonoring a way of connecting with God. We say that honor is when you assign heaven's value to something. And so when you dishonor the way someone connects with God, it will become harder for you to connect with God in that way because you have dishonored it. And so that way that that other person connects with God, it may be something that God actually wants to teach you. about connecting with God. But if you're dishonoring it, you are removing yourself from the ability to receive from it. So beware of dishonoring or devaluing how someone else connects with God. And then number three, don't argue over or get distracted by doctrinally neutral issues. There's so many things that we can take that are actually molehills and we turn them into mountains. And so beware of doing that. You know, for some people, you may be like, oh, the donkey that the Lord talked through in the Bible was brown. And you may be like, no, it was black. Like, you're wrong. Like, don't spend your time on things that are not actually important. Focus on the things that God says, these are the things that are important, that matter to me. And that's one way that we protect the way we're encountering the Lord, is that we're not getting distracted by things that are not important. Okay, if you want to learn more about how you best connect with God, the 2.0 of MC Connect, text ENCOUNTER to the all-inclusive number, and you can take an assessment and learn about the way that you connect with God. But today, we're gonna learn what it means to connect with God through fasting. So the main text today that we're gonna pull from is 2 Chronicles 20, 1 through 30. What's happening here is that King Jehoshaphat has three different armies coming against him, waging war against him. And then in verse 3, it says this: alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek him from to seek from help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Verse 22, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and the Moabites rose up against the men of Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. And there was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. Verse 29, the fear of God came on all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. Fasting is intentionally withholding your desires to draw closer to God. It's denying your flesh and feeding your spirit. In the world, you increase hunger by eating less. Your appetite is dictated by a lack of sustenance. But in the kingdom, you increase hunger by eating more. Your appetite is dictated by whatever you're eating. So when you fast, you're actually resetting your appetite to the things of the spirit. Fasting is not just about abstaining, but it is filling yourself up with the things of God. Fasting is a spiritual discipline that awakens your sensitivity to hear God's voice with clarity. It helps you see what God wants to show you. Fasting is a spiritual discipline that allows you to be led into the things that he's calling you to. It creates a supernatural faith. It produces spiritual strength in you. According to Isaiah 58, fasting looses the bonds of wickedness in your life. According to Isaiah 58, fasting is the thing that actually undoes the heavy burden. According to Isaiah 58, fasting is the thing that allows the oppressed to go free. It's the thing that breaks every yoke in your life. And so for some of you, there have been heavy yokes on you. There have been bonds of wickedness, things that you can't seem to just get free from. There's been heavy burdens that you've been walking under. There's been oppression in your life. And according to Isaiah 58, fasting is the way that we position ourselves for all of these things to happen in our lives. When we don't properly assign heaven's value to things according to the word of God, the world will take those things and reassign a lesser or perverted value to it. So a lot of people just think of fasting as a tool for good health. that is just the tool for physical, maybe even mental health. Intermittent fasting has become extremely popular, but that's not the fasting that we're talking about this morning. The world did not come up with fasting. It's not their concept. It's a biblical, spiritual discipline that God has given us for freedom in our life, that God has given us for intimacy in our lives. It's more than a diet. There's great spiritual breakthrough that's hidden in connecting with God through fasting. And it's all throughout the Word of God. In Exodus, Moses fasted and prayed before receiving the Ten Commandments. In Judges, the Israelites fasted and prayed before battle. Elijah fasted before a major encounter with God on a mountain. In Ezra, they fasted and asked the Lord for protection. In Nehemiah fasted in preparation to build. Esther 4, they fasted and prayed on behalf of Esther. Jonah 3, they partnered their fasting with repentance to the Lord. In Acts 13, the church of Antioch fasted and prayed as they sent off Paul and Barnabas. 2 Chronicles, King Jehoshaphat called a fast and God gave Jehaziel supernatural strategy because they prayed and fasted. Now there are a bunch of different types of fasts that you can do. Jesus did a water fast. Moses and Elijah did a water fast. Daniel showed us what a partial fast looked like. There's a full fast that we see in the book of Esther. There's liquid fasting. There's corporate fast, which is all of Israel coming together. It's an entire house, a body of believers coming together and fasting together. Maybe it's your house coming together and fasting together, your family fasting together. You can fast TV, social media. You can fast spending. You can fast anything that God puts on your heart to fast. We do monthly fasts or yearly fasts. In the Justice Reform, we do a weekly fast together on Wednesdays. There's so many different ways that you can fast, or types of fast that there are. And so a lot of people just don't fast. And the question is, well, how come people don't fast? And a lot of times I'll hear the phrase, well, fasting is just not for me. Or it's just hard. Or I just don't feel like it. Or it's really hard just for me. And I just want to let you know that you're in great company, because nobody likes fasting. So if that is your reasoning for not fasting, it's time to fast. You know that God can actually give you grace, the supernatural empowerment to fast. And I believe he wants that. I believe that's something he's going to release in the room today. But you have to remember that fasting is supernatural. It's something that's beyond your ability. It's not something that you can just conjure up and do on your own. It requires the grace of God. It requires the supernatural empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It's extremely important, because without fasting, you're easily susceptible to being led by your flesh. Notice that there are major decisions in the Word of God that were preceded by fasting and prayer. Romans 8:5 said that those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Fasting is the thing that makes it easy to set your mind on the things that the Spirit of God desires. Fasting is denying your flesh and feeding your spirit. And the reality is, whichever thing you feed the most in your life is the thing that will lead you. If you spend more of your life feeding your flesh will lead you. If you spend your life feeding your spirit, then you will be led by the Spirit. And fasting is the way that we do that. It's one of the ways that God has given us very clearly to kill our fleshly desires and to build up, to feed the desires of the Spirit. Galatians 5:17 says, "For the flesh craves what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are opposed to each other." They're literally opposed to one another, your spirit and your flesh. So you're like, oh no, it's easy for me to just walk in the Spirit all the time. I always know what the Spirit is doing. That's cool, that's cool, that's cool. I know what, that scripture says that we don't know. It says that our spirit is always at war with our fleshly desires. So there has to be a mechanism that we use, a discipline that is used, so that we can tell and discern the difference between the two. Fasting is the spiritual discipline that allows us to do that. You cannot afford to be led by your flesh. There's too much at stake. Your family is at stake. Your calling is at stake. Your future is at stake. How many of you, your families that are here today that have been blessed by Mercy Culture and what God has done in this house? Go ahead, raise your hand. If you've been blessed by this house in any way, shape, or form, raise your hand. Now, I want to tell you that you're living in someone else's yes to live in the Spirit. You just raised your hand and said that you've been blessed by this house. You're living in someone else's yes to deny their flesh and feed their spirit. The shots, the pastors, the leaders of this house was built with prayer and fasting. There's a fast at the beginning, like several fasts at the beginning of this church before we ever launched, asking the Lord what pleases you and fasting so that we could hear the Lord show us what pleases him. And then we hear God and then obey. And if God can do all of this with the leadership of this house fasting, what can he do in your life if you decide to fast and pray? What does that mean for your family? What does that mean for your business? What does that mean for the dreams that God has put inside of you? The same grace on this house as we've prayed and fasted and being able to hear the Lord and obey, that is accessible to you as well through prayer and fasting. In my immaturity, I thought that fasting was a hunger strike. I heard somebody say, uh-oh, because you know, whoever that was. But I thought that fasting was a hunger strike, a way to just make the Lord do what I want him to do. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Nobody ever said that, but it's just what I believed. It's what was implied as fasting was talked about growing up. And it was this idea that God is this angry dictator and he doesn't want to give us anything, but if we go on a hunger strike, then maybe he'll bless us. Maybe he'll give us something. And it actually began to distort my perspective of his character and his nature and who he is as a good father. I was completely unaware that of the element of intimacy that serves as the foundation of fasting. Fasting is about intimacy with the Father. Fasting positions you to live a life that is pleasing to him. Ephesians 5:10 says this, it says, find out what pleases the Lord. Fasting positions you to find out what pleases the Lord. And so it's not that you're doing a hunger strike and God will just give you whatever you ask for. It's you are being positioned to find out what pleases him and then to come in alignment with what makes him smile. There's a difference between someone looking at you with a straight face, like most of you are doing right now, it's fine, and a smile, which I see from some of you now. Thank you, Paul Fleck. Like there's a difference between the two. And we all know, everybody in this room, I'm sure you don't want to displease God. You don't want to do the thing that grieves the Spirit of God. But did you know that there's a way that we can live a life that actually makes him smile? That's different than just a straight face, him just looking at us? Fasting is one of the ways that God has given us to position ourselves so that we can find out what makes him smile, the things that please him, the things that make him happy. That is one of the spiritual disciplines that he's given us for that. I want to give you guys a few practical tips for fasting, or as I would call them, fast hacks. You see what I did there? Pastor Landon asked me to share this, but I've completed 6 40-day fasts, and I'm still learning about fasting, but I wanted to give away the things that the Lord has taught me through those fasts. I just want to give away my relationship with the Lord and believing that maybe these things will help you as you connect with God through fasting. But I must tell you that on one of those fasts, I actually licked a Dorito. So I don't know if that disqualifies one of them or not, but I have to tell you that I feel like I have to confess it before I start giving the practical tips. It's fine. It's not a joke. It's a real thing. You know, I looked at Evelyn's my roommate. I took a Dorito, and I looked at her for accountability, and I said, I just need a different texture. I'm just going to lick it. So that happened. You can discredit one of those if you want to. Practical tips, practical advice for fasting. Number one, fast and pray. Without prayer, you are doing, you're simply participating in a diet. And I don't know about you guys, but if I'm dieting, I'm not interested. You know, like, if I'm gonna not eat or not do something, I want it to be a fast. And so I want it to be beneficial. I want it to produce fruit in my life. And so therefore, pray and fast. And the beautiful thing about fasting and praying is that when you're fasting, it actually helps you get you out of your prayers. It helps position you to pray what the great intercessor is praying. We have a bad habit sometimes as Christians of praying the things that we just want. Maybe it's just me, it's fine. You guys don't do that. But it's easy to do that, right? We just pray the thing that we desire. We pray our own will. And Jesus taught them how to pray, taught the disciples how to pray, and his prayer was, your will be done. It's not about what we want, it's about what he wants. And fasting is the thing that helps us get us out of the prayer so we can pray what's on his heart. Number two, be intentional about spending more time with God while you're fasting. Create more time for time with God. So you already have your daily personal encounters, but when you're going on a fast, maybe you don't schedule as many things in the evenings. And you take evenings where you just say, okay, this evening is just dedicated to the Lord, and I'm just gonna seek him for the thing that he's speaking to me about. It's very easy to just fill up your schedule as usual when you're fasting and just end up doing a diet, like we talked about, right? So you have to create more time to connect with the Lord while you're fasting. The next thing I'll say is name your fast. A name of a fast allows you to attach your faith to something that the Lord wants to do on your fast. And so what I had to learn the hard way, I named my fast myself one time, and the Holy Spirit with his kindness just felt the Lord tap on my shoulder and say, hey, can I name it? Would you let me name the fast? And there were things that I wanted to happen through the fast that I wanted to see accomplished. And the Lord said, well, what about the things that I want to do in you through the fast? And so my encouragement to you would be ask God to name your fast. Ask him what it is. We're going to take some time at the end today to do that together. The next thing would be to find unity in corporate fast. So one of the things I love about Mercy Culture is that two times a year we do a corporate fast together. We fast in January and then again in August. And so we have a fast that's coming up. And I would just encourage you guys to come into unity with the house. There's such a beautiful unity that's produced when we all fast together. You know, imagine every one of us not only having our daily encounters, but spending 21 days straight killing our flesh, feeding our spirit, man. What happens when we all come into the house of God together to worship? Anything can happen. There's unity. The Lord says that unity commands a blessing. So there's beautiful blessing. There's beautiful unity that comes from us fasting corporately. They're all throughout the word. In Ezra 8, Ezra called a corporate fast. And Esther 3, Mordecai called one. In 1 Samuel, Samuel called a corporate fast. In Acts 13, the church of Antioch had a corporate fast together. And so come into unity with those corporate fasts as they happen. The next thing would be don't try to be seen by others. So it's really easy when you fast to let everyone around you know that you're fasting. You know why? Because it hurts. You know, so it's really, you just kind of want to just cry all day and just frown at everybody. Kind of, you know, like it hurts. Things are dying inside of you. Your flesh is dying. And so what the word of God says in Matthew 6:16, he says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they're fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. It's beautiful. So don't fast to be seen by others. Don't make other people feel bad or try to make yourself seem more spiritual than others because you're fasting and maybe they're not at that moment. Be cautious of that. And then I would just say also don't be weird about it. If people know that you're fasting, it's okay. You know, don't be that person that's like, oh, I can't tell anybody that I haven't eaten since Thursday. Like, you know, and every time somebody asks if you want something to eat, you're just like, no, I just ate earlier. You're just lying. You know, like, don't be weird about it. You can just say, hey, I'm fasting. No, thank you. You know what I mean? We don't have to be weird people. That's not necessary. Notice, one thing I want you to notice in Matthew 6:16, the passage that I just read, it was Jesus speaking. Notice that he said, when you fast, not if you fast. I just want to bring an awareness that Jesus, from Jesus's mouth, he was saying, this is an expected lifestyle of a follower of me. If you follow me, this is a part of how we do it. This is a part of how we walk, is fasting together. And so it's a lifestyle. It should be a lifestyle. And there's obviously, there's all the different fasts that I talked about earlier, but there's also just a way of living your life so that you are constantly denying your flesh. There's sometimes random moments in the day where I'll be craving Doritos, you guessed it. And I might just say, no, I'm not gonna have that bag of Doritos. Nobody's forcing me to do that. Nobody, I'm not in trouble. I don't feel like God is mad at me for eating Doritos, but sometimes there are moments when I'll just say no. And it's because as my lifestyle, I want to remind my flesh that it's not in charge. I want to live a lifestyle that is constantly reminding my flesh, you don't run things. You will not lead me in decision making. You will not lead me in relationships. You will not lead me in how I lead. It's a constant decision. It's a lifestyle to say you're not in charge. It's a decision to put your flesh second, because you are choosing to put God first. You're making a decision to choose him first. Connecting with God through fasting positions us to seek God first. In 2 Chronicles 20, I read it earlier in the passage, but it says that Jehoshaphat, he resolved to inquire of the Lord. He called a fast and then literally said, now we need to seek the Lord. Fasting positioned them to seek the Lord for what the Lord wanted to do in the situation. They just received news about enemies coming towards them, and they could have done anything in that situation. They could have decided to go get in place. They could have decided to draw their weapons. But King Jehoshaphat said, we need to fast and pray and seek the Lord first before any of those other things that make more sense in the natural. There will be moments where you're tempted in decisions that you have to make for your family and decisions you need to make for your business. There will be moments where you will feel tempted to do the natural thing first. You will be tempted to put your hand on it first. When you fast, it positions you to remember, okay, God, what do you want? You're first in this. I would encourage you guys, even practically, when you have big decisions before you like that, it's a great spiritual discipline to fast. When you have large decisions to make about moves and relationships and businesses and whatever it is, just fast and ask the Lord. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Fasting requires humility. It's acknowledging the desire to please someone beyond yourself. And we typically live a life where we are obsessed with pleasing ourselves. Culture teaches us to be obsessed with pleasing ourselves. Do what feels good to you. Do what you want to do. Do the thing that makes the most sense to you. And humility says, there's one who knows more than me, and I will position myself to hear him speak into this situation. I love how King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20:12, he says, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you, is what he says. That was his prayer in the midst of the fast. There was humility there. There was great humility that he was operating in. Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Now, let's go back to the text from the beginning again, with the story of King Jehoshaphat. They had their enemies, three different armies coming against them. King Jehoshaphat calls a fast and they begin to pray and seek the Lord. And then King Jehoshaphat just prays before the Lord, and the last line of his prayer is, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are set on you. And then what happens is they begin to sing in praise in verse 22. And it says that the Lord set an ambush against their enemies. That literally the Lord himself sets an ambush against their enemies. An ambush means to attack by surprise from a hidden place. So the Lord sets a surprise attack on their enemies, and then it says that their enemies begin to fight one another. Their enemies begin to destroy one another. There's a guy in this story named Jahaziel, and all they were doing was obeying the word of the Lord that came through Jahaziel. So their enemies fought against each other because they fasted, prayed, sought the Lord, and then obeyed the thing that the Lord spoke. Jahaziel, he tells them, you don't have to do anything. The Lord will do it. The Lord gives him supernatural insight and strategy into the battle. If you read the passage, he literally tells them where to go and where the enemy is going to be. He gives them supernatural insight. Some of you think that fasting is just for the pastor, for the preacher, for the worship team, for preaching a message. You think that there's just this spiritual context for it that's for ministry. And I just want to encourage you, Jahaziel receives supernatural insight and strategy for a battle. That translates into your business. That translates into your family decisions. That translates into the dreams that God is wanting to birth in the earth through you. That he wants to give you supernatural insight and strategy. And you've been trying to maybe just in your own strength and in your might, trying to come up with decisions and answers and strategy. And the Lord shows us right here in this passage that he provided it through fasting and praying. It says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, and then he began to release the word of the Lord that had the strategy in it. And so the Lord wants to give you supernatural wisdom and strategy and insight also through fasting. There was this moment in the story where they were given an opportunity to see the results of the fast. It says that they came over the men of Judah and King Jehoshaphat, and they were at the overlook of the desert, and they looked towards the vast army, and all they saw were the enemies were beginning to come against them. It says that all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground. There was dead bodies everywhere. It says that no one had escaped. I remember reading this passage and the Lord just highlighting to me how that's what happens when you fast. When you look around, all you see is dead bodies. All you see is your old mindsets, your old sin patterns, your old thought processes, the things that you couldn't get free from. Isaiah 58 said it perfectly earlier that, and we talked about it earlier, that it fasting releases the bonds of wickedness. That's a dead man. That the heavy burdens get released. That's a dead man. That the oppression on your life gets released. That's another dead man. That the yoking with things that are not Jesus, that it leaves you. That's another dead man. That everywhere that they looked, there were dead men on the ground. That's the result of the fast. I remember just all these moments in these different fasts where the Lord will whisper to me in a moment, this is a result of the fast. I did a fast at the top of 2020, and the Lord named it the Shepherd's Fast. And he wanted to teach me about being a shepherd and what it meant that he's the best shepherd that there ever will be, that he's the best leader that there is. And he was teaching me about him as a shepherd. And then in April of this year, I had the opportunity to be ordained as a pastor in this house. And the Lord whispered to me and said, this is a result of the fast, that he was teaching me about what it meant to be a shepherd and is still teaching me. But in that fast, he named it the Shepherd's Fast. And then I got a chance to see him actually do it in my life. In 2020, at the top of the year, we did a social media fast as a house. I don't know if you guys remember this, but the top of 2020 was crazy. You guys remember? It was crazy. Social media, TV, news, everything was insane. And I honestly, it was heartbreaking because I remember seeing the spirit of offense sweep the church. There's still friends of mine that have not recovered from the spirit of offense that entered into their life through 2020. And I think it's beautiful that through 2020, through all of that this house has remained in love with Jesus. The Bible talks about hearts growing cold like wax. And I just love that this house, that our hearts have not grown cold towards him, that our hearts have stayed hot and on fire for the things of God and for him. And I just want to encourage you, let's look back and realize that's a result of the fast, that the Lord has done a thing in this community that comes through corporate fast, a breakthrough, an ability to keep our eyes fixed on him, a grace to just look at him when everything's going wild around us. That's a result of the fast. That same fast, I went on a fast and God actually led me out of a relationship that wasn't for me. I'm just gonna be super authentic with you guys. The Lord led me out of a relationship that was not for me. And I just wanna speak to every single person in the room right now. Sometimes God will say no, even when you fast, even when you pray. And you have to understand that it's the mercy of God, that it's his hand. And if you will seek him first and fast, even as you pray into relationships in your life, God will show himself faithful to you. And he will hide you from the schemes of the enemy, from being in relationships that are not for you. For everyone else who's not single, the same applies. Every married person, every, I don't know what else there is. I think those are the only options. All of you. Sometimes we expect that when we pray and fast for something, that it just means that every door just opens. That it just means that everything works out exactly the way we wanted it to. And I just want you to know that sometimes when you fast and pray, God closes the door. And it is his mercy. It is his kindness. It is his pleasure. It's him doing what he does for us as a good father, protecting you, keeping you. We thank God so much for the open doors, but I just want to encourage you that you should thank him for the closed doors as well. In 2 Chronicles 20, 29 through 30, it says that the fear of God came on all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard of how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And it says, and the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. I just want to show you this picture. The Lord said in the scripture that after they fasted and prayed and sought the Lord, the enemies that came against them began to fight one another, destroyed each other. And then there was plunder left for them, and they began to take the things that belonged to the enemy before, and it added to their life. It was so much they didn't know what to do with it. And then it says after this, that God had given him rest on every side. What does that look like? That looks like rest here, and rest here, and rest here, and rest here. It's on every side. It means that you're hidden. That everywhere that Jehoshaphat looked, rest was there, that the peace of God was there. And for Jehoshaphat, that was the result of the fast. It meant that God was surrounding him, that he was hiding him in his presence. When you go to God first, when you seek him first, your enemies also have to go to God first. And so as Jehoshaphat is hidden, surrounded by rest, it doesn't mean that the enemies didn't come. It means that they couldn't get to him, that they couldn't touch Jehoshaphat because Jehoshaphat was hidden and surrounded by the rest of God. This is what happens when we fast, when we deny our flesh and we feed our spirit man. It positions us to please God, to live a life that pleases God. And in that smile, in that pleasure, we can't get to our enemies and our enemies can't get to us. It's like a child running to their father first. You know, those kids when somebody, a bully or somebody's coming at them, they run to their dad and jump in their arms. And whoever that enemy is, after that moment, they know from that moment, while that child is in the arms of the father, that if I wanna get to that child, I have to go through their father first. That's what happens when we're hidden in him. Worship team, you guys can come up. Fasting has a way of positioning us to be hidden in him. Isaiah 58, I've mentioned it a few times. The Lord directed me to pray this passage while I was fasting about actually moving to Fort Worth and coming to Mercy Culture. And I was on a fast, and he said, hey, I want you to just pray this chapter every day. And so that was the chapter that I prayed through. And what's happening in that passage is that God is correcting their hearts regarding fasting. He's correcting their perspective. He's saying, hey, you did everything that looked right, but you didn't actually do the thing that pleased me. You didn't actually come to me. You didn't actually pursue me and my heart and the things that meant a lot to me. Like you looked good doing it. You put the sackcloth and you did all the things, but you didn't actually do the thing that I asked you to do. And it says, when we do the fast that is pleasing to the Lord, when we actually do the fast that he has chosen for us, the one that is about pleasing him, this is what it says will happen. It's Isaiah 58:6. It says, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you. And listen to this last part. It says, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. As I was reading this passage, I began to ask the Lord, what is this rear guard? What are you saying? What does this mean? And I know in the natural, it means that he's behind, is my understanding of what that would mean. But I began to look it up, and this word is actually asaf, and it means to gather. And so in other words, this is what God is saying. He says, and the glory of the Lord will gather you. He's saying, I will hide you. When someone is being gathered, they're being brought into the arms of one. It's God saying, I will gather you. I will hide you in my presence. Fasting positions you to be hidden in him. Because it's not you that lives, it's him. You're pleasing him because your flesh, the things that don't please him, are dying before your eyes. And the things that please him, his ways, his heart, his perspective, his words are the things that begin to feed you and to direct how you move and the directions that you go. It's God saying that I'll put my hand to battle for you. I'll set an ambush against your enemy. I'll be the one that touches the door. I'll be the one that touches the opportunity. I'll be the one that touches the property that you're praying into. I'll be the one that touches the relationship that you've been asking about. He's saying, I'll be the one that stands between you and the thing that's around you. I'll be the one that stands in between. And so your enemies will have to come through him before they get to you. And then you get to encounter him before you ever encounter your enemies. That's what happens when we position ourselves in fasting.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.